Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You really don't trust anybody, do you?
No.
I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
FBI.
They are watching everything that you do. I'm fighting a war on two fronts.
I never meant for you to be a part of this.
I'm trying to be loyal to you without falling off a moral cliff.
Pearson, season one, episode 10 is over. And if you're ready to hear us talk about The Fixer, then suits yourself. I'm Rob Sestrino, back here with the guy who would never take a shower in Jeff Malone's apartment. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I don't know, Rob. I have mixed feelings. You know?
Yes.
This feels like the end of an era, but at the same time, it feels incomplete. You know?
Yes.
Like Pearson? That's how I feel.
Well, we are here to talk about the series finale for now. Of Pearson, of Suits
and
Yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it feels like the mid-series finale of Suits Yourself, because we know Suits LA is coming, right? So assuming Suits LA comes and is a big hit and gets several seasons, yeah, this feels like the halfway point almost in a weird way. But if Suits LA comes, gets 10 episodes and is canceled, this is the beginning of the end, Rob. We really don't know. We're in uncharted waters here now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, this is it. We'll talk about what happened in the season one finale of Pearson. We could speculate on what happens. You know, I think that there is still the possibility that the character of Jessica Pearson could show up in Suits LA. I mean, yeah. Why not?
Well, I mean, what do we have to lose? You know, I think that getting Jessica out of Chicago would be nice. From what we understand, Suits LA has a lighter tone, kind of similar to the regular Suits that we know and
Suits
love.
Suits NY.
Yeah, Suits NY. And so maybe getting Pearson out of the Shy
Suits
and into LA.
TY.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking that if it happened, I would like it. But I don't know. I think it looks like they had big plans for Jessica in Chicago, and we just never know what they are.
Yeah, pretty wild finale for Pearson, which ultimately was canceled after 10 episodes here. I did a little bit of research. Seems like that a couple of weeks after the finale dropped, I think this aired the same night as the Suits proper finale. They announced in November of 2019 that Pearson was going to be canceled over on USA. So that is the end of this era of Pearson. We have a lot of hanging storylines. But I guess let's talk about what we saw, and then we can get into what do you think happened after that?
Yeah, let's make it up. I mean, who is going to get mad at us if we come up with our own story? We know Aaron Korsh really wanted to continue Pearson, and he just felt like it wasn't given the shot that it needed. We gave it a shot here. I got invested in the storyline, so I'm down talking about what could have been and what could possibly be in LA.
All right, well, let's talk about our big headlines here in this episode. And really, that the... I don't know if it was a RICO case or what, but the FBI surveillance of Jessica, which was teased earlier throughout the series, really does come to a head in that the feds, they're closing in on the Tommy Diehl case.
Yeah. And it just felt like, I don't want to just keep saying we just needed more, but it just felt like, okay, we got back to the FBI storyline. Like you said, it was teased earlier in the series, but I kind of just pushed it out of my memory because it felt like there was so much to be dealt with the Tommy Diehl of it all right here in Chicago in present time. Like it felt like, oh yeah, we're trying to figure out that for the Pat McGann story. We're trying to figure out that to make the housing situation work. You know, then I realized, oh, the FBI is involved. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. They were watching Jessica. There was the photos. Jeff Malone gave her the file. And then, yeah, the FBI storyline really becomes front of mind here for me as we see them tapping Jessica's phone even. You know, it looked like they were closing in on whatever it is that they're here to do. But I'm not quite sure I know what that is either. Is it just because the mayor is now involved? I mean, we find out in this episode that it looks like, although Nick D'Amato was willing to take the fall for this, it looks like maybe it was Bobby Novak who was behind this killing of Tommy Diehl.
If not behind the killing, it seems like that he was at least there to be a part of it. Jessica talked about how, like, look at you, 165. I mean, I thought he seemed like a little bigger than that. Soaking wet. You couldn't move a body. God damn it.
That's that lawyer coming back out of her. You know, she was antagonizing him. She wanted him to say, I could move the body. It was me. I did it all by myself. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't even do that because he knew good and damn well it wasn't him. He was covering up for his accomplice, who we find out later on. We kind of find out. I don't think he ever admits it, but we find out that it was probably Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, the feds are closing in and we can speculate what's going on. That Jeff Malone ends up being a big part of all of this, that Jeff Malone somehow got caught up in this where the feds pinched Jeff Malone. Seems like did they break up in this episode?
Yes, finally. If there's one good thing that came from Pearson, it is the downfall of Jeff Malone. And honestly, Rob, I felt like for maybe like the second or third time, I wanted them to break up. But this time, I wanted it for Jeff Malone. Jeff Malone, you can do better. Mm-hmm. Jessica does not like you like that. I've been saying it for years. She doesn't like you. She does not respect you. Stop this. Yeah. You're making this relationship annoying when you could just leave. And so in this episode, he finally realizes, Jessica, she likes to live up here, Rob. She doesn't live down here. She lives up here, and she'd rather pick that lifestyle, the fast and loose, gritty streets of Chicago, than a quiet lifestyle at home with Jeff Malone as a wife and a mother and all those other things that Jeff probably wants. So he says, I have to choose me. And to that, I say, yes, Jeff, where have you been? This has been Jessica since day one.
I thought that was such an odd choice for Jessica to quote the Harvey line. She took credit for it.
You think Harvey probably got it from her, though.
You think Harvey got it from her? Is that the origin story? Where Jessica claims, you know, some people live life here. I like to live. Mm-hmm. What part of living up here are you doing right now, Jessica?
What part of slumming it in
the mayor's office is is living up here?
No, she's not slumming it. She's in FBI investigations. She's putting people in alderman seats.
She's going to jail.
She's probably going to jail. But Jessica, that's the kind of life she lives. She was up here.
She left.
Even when she was up there.
She left.
Even when she was up there, she was going to go to jail, Rob. She was going to jail up there
because
she had a fraud working for her for years. Jessica and Harvey are both reckless people who just like to do whatever they want to do because they got a ton of money and a lot of time. And so in this episode, she finally reveals she had her her Walter White moment. Everybody thought it was for the family, for the kids and all that stuff. But no, he was just doing it because he wanted to. He was good at it. He was good at being a drug dealer and he liked it. And Jessica's like, yeah, I'm good at being involved in all of this. I'm the biggest, baddest dealer there is. And I want you to say my name. Mm-hmm. Heisenberg.
You're goddamn right.
Exactly. Yes. She let her have her moment.
Okay. Yeah. So a breakup potentially for Jessica here in this episode.
Wrapped it up.
You predicted last week, you said Angela is going to run for mayor. I was like, really? I don't see that. Not mayor. She's going to be the alderman. Alderwoman? Is it alderwoman?
I think it's still alderman. But yeah, this is a happy medium between what we had. Cause you were like, mayor's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, but somebody has to be in that seat, you know, and I don't see it being Jessica as the mayor of Chicago. Like that would be crazy. Disgraced lawyer from New York is now the mayor of Chicago. But her cousin Angela, like it's a person of the people, you know, she's down there on the grassroots level. She's taking food from work to feed people. She's out here protesting on the streets, living in the tents. When they said alderman, I was like, oh, it was right there. It was right there. Damn. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. How many aldermen are there in a city? Like, is there... does Chicago have 10 aldermen? Do they have 1,000 aldermen?
Alder people, I don't think I've ever met an alderman, mm-hmm. Rob.
Like I don't really know aldermen either.
Yeah, I only hear about them in passing. Like, oh yeah, did you hear about that alderman? Like, oh okay.
Okay.
But
Chicago has 50 aldermen.
50 aldermen? Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense then why you can give this to Angela with literally no like experience in politics. Because it feels like it's just like, it's such a like, I guess every ward probably has, you know, like an alderman, probably like a face of that little community. And I'm assuming that's what the alderman is doing. And so, yeah, it just feels right. Like alderman is probably where you get your stepping stone into the bigger politics. Yeah, in the
city. It's a 4-year role to be the alderman. Okay. So 50 aldermen in Chicago. And so maybe by season 5, she'd be the mayor.
It probably wouldn't even take that long. Yeah. You know, I've watched other shows where people are like, they're the whip and then they're the president in the same season. Not to say what that is. And then, you know, and then their wife is the president as well. You know, I've seen all of that in one show, you know, so it wouldn't be a stretch to believe that maybe by season 2 or 3, she would have been making a run, because Carlos Salazar was going to take the alderman role in lieu of taking the mayor role. Yeah. We saw that Bobby Novak was an alderman as well, right? Or something to that effect. And then he ended up being the mayor. So you can make that jump. It's a real springboard. Yeah, it really is. At least in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we have aldermen in Texas. Like, I'm going to look that up. Aldermen
In
Houston.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll meet some aldermen when we go to Chicago in a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow. Do you think the aldermen in Chicago know about Pearson?
Maybe.
Well, because, you know, we speculated when we watched Suits about, you know, how Harvard felt about, you know, Suits basically making them the face of Harvard Law. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, Suits, you got to come to us. Pearson Specter Litt, Zane Williams, Willard Williams, you know, Hardman, you got to come through that group. You know, or whatever, you got to go through Harvard to get to them. And I was thinking, oh, if I'm a lawyer, I'm probably really enjoying Suits. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a city councilman,
if you're an alderman
or a mayor or an alderman, I'm probably not loving Pearson, because this doesn't give the shine the best light on those people.
Yeah. Did we go 0 for Pat McGann in the finale?
I swear he was there.
He was at, I think he was at, like, they, Bobby gave the speech and then basically, like, basically said that he was going to have to open up his buildings. But they did try to fake us out again that Nick actually killed Pat McGann.
I got hopeful. You know, there, at the end of last episode, we speculate, and both of us were like, there's no way
they Pat didn't McGann. Kill him off screen.
Yeah,
although in the flashbacks, no, like the guy had, like Tommy Deal did have white hair. I was like, wait, is that Pat McGann? No.
I was looking. Yeah, I paused it. I said, oh, wait, they got him. I think we got him. Yeah, we did not get him. Pat McGann is still alive and ticking. And yeah, Bobby throws him under the bus and says, hey, just so you know, Pat McGann has already promised to house all these people. And he's like, what? And yeah, Pat McGann cares a lot about his public image. So he can't go back on that promise initially. So he's just kind of like, damn, Bobby, you got me right now, but eventually I'm going to get you back.
What public image? Does anybody see Pat McGann like that? He's a stand-up guy in our community.
I don't know. I just know that Jessica saw him talking to his granddaughter or something like that one time on the phone, or his daughter on the phone one time. And she was like, you know, who wouldn't be caught dead looking like a bad guy? Pat McGann. He's a family man. I was like, what? Okay, Jessica, fine. You know, if that's what you say, this man seemingly is a dirty dealer and everybody knows it. But what do I know?
Yeah. Okay. So Bobby is sort of caught up here where that, you know, Angela has moved the protest from the tent city to, they've set up shop outside of City Hall. So now we have like the tent city, everybody's living outside of City Hall. This is like the backdrop for the events of this episode, where that Jerry from Parks and Recreation is going to be trying to hold the police at bay. But at some point, there's going to be some kind of violent showdown between the Chicago police and the tent city.
Someone threw a bottle and hit one of the cops.
Mm-hmm.
now Jerry's his hands are tied. You know, like the cops want to shoot up Tent City, y'all. He's like, Bobby, they got to get something out of this. They got hit with a bottle. And Bobby's like, these are the people who vote for me. Also, it's black folks. So we can't let the cops come in and just be all militant because they're going to lose the black vote. And he's like, but what about the cop vote? He's like, it's just a bottle. It's just a bottle. You'll live. It's like, I don't know. Let me do something about it. Let me come in. Let me shut this down, because if somebody else comes in here, like the military, you're going to look bad. And we're going to look bad too. So let me be the one. Let me drop the hammer. I'm like, oh God, Jerry, go back. Please go back to Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Please.
So Bobby has his hands full in a lot of different directions really he's trying to, you know, appease all of his constituents, that Derek is like, in a tough spot also, that Bobby and Derek are going to have it out a couple times during the episode. Derek, I don't know, does he quit? Like, he basically, like...
He quit. Yeah, he quit.
Did he really quit?
He quit. He definitely quit. He's like...
How is he going to be on the show in season two?
Maybe he's in a relationship with
Yoli?
Yeah, maybe he's a special advisor to the alderman. Maybe he's
he's gonna go work for Jesse, for Angela.
Yeah, something like that. Because he finds out that Bobby's still talking to Icarus, and he's just like, Bobby, you're making me look like a sellout. And Bobby's kind of just like, well, maybe you are. Maybe you are a sellout, and you just are fighting that. You want to sit in this office and do sellout things, but then you want to be looking. You want to look good in the community.
You take you want a this paycheck with one hand, and then you hold your nose with the other.
You're like, oh, I hate it here. Bobby's so tough. And he just counting his money like 5, 10, 15, 20. Like, oh, yeah, Bobby, you suck. Bobby, 20, 25, 30. You know, it's like, Derek, you got to pick a lane. I was with Bobby on this one. Like, babe, if you're selling out, just say that. But don't be yelling at him. Mm-hmm. He is who he is. He's a politician. You know, he's going to do those things. You're the one like, stop politicianing. Please, like, stop it. But also, here's what I typed up to let you get away with the next thing that you're going to get away with. So Derek does eventually quit.
What's with Derek and Yoli? Why was Yoli being so weird about that her and Derek kissed, and so she's acting like, oh, hey, we're professionals.
Let me be very clear. That was not a kiss. That was not a kiss. Derek says, so we're not going to talk about the kiss. And she's like, what kiss? And I said it at the same exact time. That little peck on the cheek, that's nothing. As much nothing. Dramatic television as we watch.
He made it weird, is what you're saying?
I think she made it weird based off of that little peck. She could have kind of worked the next day and acted like nothing happened. But instead, she's like, what? What are you talking about? Huh? Why are you coming over here? Get away from me. Stop looking at me like that. It's like, bro, he's trying to make it weird. Like, obviously, you're into the kid. And she's kind of like, I'm repulsed by you. Get away from me. It's like, man, there's a middle ground where you gave this man a peck on the cheek and then you go to work and act like a normal human being. She was acting like a child. Both of them were, really. And I was just like, come on, man. If that's all it took, you wouldn't survive one day at PSL. Because they were doing way worse. This is nothing. This was nothing. I guess they're trying to push this will they, won't they for Derek and Yoli. But it's very clear that there would have been a will they if the show was able to continue.
Yeah. Definitely would have gone on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do we have, Rob?
I don't know. So we have the whole Nick storyline, okay? And so Nick is in this episode. He goes to Carrie at the beginning of the episode. I have to tell a confession. I want to tell you about how I killed Tommy Deal. You're a lawyer. She's not his lawyer, but random lawyer. I got to tell you everything I did about Tommy Deal. Who then she calls in Jessica, and then they're going to try to get him to, all right, give this confession, but do it in a way that does not hurt the mayor.
Right. And he's like, F you, Jessica. And she's like, what is wrong with you? I'm trying to save you. He's like, I don't care. It's me. I need to go down. They're like, it's going to fall back on Bobby. He's like, it can't. It's like, it obviously will. You're his brother. You're his brother. This would make sense for it to come. He's like, okay. But he's got his gun in the house. And Jessica's kind of like, hey, can you give me that? He's like, no. She's like, look, just give me the gun. Just give me the gun so you don't hurt yourself in the middle of the night. And we're able to move forward with this. Because she types up a whole, helps him with his whole confession and everything. But they're just trying to save Bobby. And I'm not really quite sure at this point why. I mean, I know it's Jessica's job to save Bobby. But if Bobby did this, I think we should just let Bobby burn.
Yeah, I don't know where they were going to go with this.
Nope, no clue.
Again, unless they were going to really make it like, Tommy Deal was a bad guy. He did, Bobby and Nick took out the trash.
Well, they've said it a few times. Pat McGann told us early on, like, hey, this Tommy Deal, he was no saint. He was no angel. Mm-hmm. You know, he actually sucked. And so it's like, y'all doing this, nobody misses him except you. The only people who miss him are the people who we're talking about right now. And so, yeah, it does look like Nick felt so bad about it that he was determined to take the fall. But again, they just didn't want it to fall back on Bobby.
Yeah.
We know why Carrie doesn't want it to fall back on Bobby. She's in love with him and Jessica works for him. So their job is to kind of keep Nick at bay until they can protect Bobby from all of this.
So I thought that the most ridiculous part of the episode was that, you know, Jessica tells Nick, all right, Nick, get some rest, okay? You're not yourself right now. You need to sleep, okay? We'll talk about this in the morning. So then he wakes up and she's like, all right, Nick, is there anything you need? He's like, yeah, I stink. Could I take a shower at your place? And yeah. Jessica's like, okay, that's fine. He's like, I could go all the way back to my place. She's like, no, take a shower. That's fine. And so we're seeing Nick get undressed, turn on the water, and now, uh-oh, Jeff Malone is coming home, and wait until Jeff Malone gets upstairs and he's about to bust Jessica with Nick D'Amato in the shower. But Jeff Malone gets stopped by the feds. Did that basically save Jessica? I mean, that were they trying to make us feel like that there was going to be Jeff Malone was going to like, what the hell, Jessica? I leave you alone for 1 second and you have this guy taking a shower in our apartment.
Yeah, I really think that's what it was. I think they wanted us to believe that, you know, Jessica and Jeff Malone were going to have a falling out about that. And they were just disguising the FBI plot. Because when she comes in, she immediately like, whoa, Jeff, hold on, I can explain. And he's like, shh, don't say anything. And he just jots down on his little envelope. The room is tapped.
The room is bugged. Yeah.
It's bugged.
It's not safe to
talk
here.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh. Well, that's less entertaining than the alternative. I kind of wanted to see what happened. Yeah, I mean,
why did they even like tease us that that was going to happen?
They had to keep us on the edge of our seats.
All right. They had us in the blender for sure.
They really did. Or at least in the first half. And then by the time it actually caught up, we was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. That was fine.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Carrie was going to take this other job, but in the end, you know, the feds get her. So I think that that's going to screw things up. She's not going to be able to go work at the law firm.
Yeah, Carrie, is Carrie just stuck? She's trapped working for Bobby Novak forever?
Well, how is she going to still be on the show if she was going to leave the mayor's office?
Yeah, it feels like she was going to leave, but it doesn't make any sense. Unless they were planning on writing her off. Aside from the Bobby Novak storyline, like the love story, she's not that big of a character, honestly. Like, what can we actually say that she's done outside of, you know, kind of just being there, you know, with Bobby? I think that if you move her out of the way, yeah, you can bring in new people. But I don't think Carrie was the reason why anybody was tuning into the show. No disrespect to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, then let's talk about Bobby's other love interest, Stephanie. She has some stuff to do here in this episode. And then it's almost like, are they getting back together?
Yeah, Stephanie, stand up. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Initially, Bobby's like, yeah, I couldn't make it home. She's like, yeah, whatever. I know you couldn't make it home. He's like, no, seriously, this time I wasn't cheating on you. She's like, no, it's fine. You think the cat's out of the bag and you can just do whatever you want now. But she's filing for a divorce. She gives him the divorce papers and she's like, hey, you can sign these if you want, but I don't really want a divorce. I don't want to throw away everything that we've built together. And she fell in love with a guy who might not exist, but if he does exist, he shouldn't sign the papers. So Stephanie's in it for the long haul. She's like, I could be alone with kids, you know, dealing with my illness by myself, or I could at least have, you know, a husband to help out with some of that stuff. And she probably could wrap her mind around sharing him with Carrie. She doesn't say leave Carrie or else. She says, look, I don't want to get a divorce. We can try to work on this. So yeah. You can be the old Bobby. Yeah. Now, from what we've learned, old Bobby sucked too. This guy has always been awful. You know, he's awful in every aspect. He could talk. That man can talk. And I mean, he has the gift of gab. We've seen how he'd be spitting game to Carrie, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, when need be, he can put some words together. But aside from that, Seth, this is not a catch. This man is in hell. He's in a blender. He's a murderer, it seems. There's a lot of reason for her to get away. But this is a trope as well, you know, where the marriage of convenience happens and the wife of some politician or some chooses to stay alongside them because of the benefits or, you know, or the, I guess, the lack of downside to get into divorce. Like, so she gets a divorce and she's on her own. And he goes and continues doing what he's doing, where it's like she helped build his political career. So she shouldn't be robbed of that as well, you know? So I've seen it in other shows too. I wasn't shocked to see it here, but it is a little played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she seems like that health-wise, she, like, in the beginning of the season, they really made it seem like that her health was, like, a bigger issue. And again, I don't know enough about the condition that she is dealing with of, like, you know, how advanced it is. But it seems like that she seems like she's doing okay from a health perspective at this point. So, yeah, she's just like, whatever.
Yeah. That's it. She's like, oh, yeah, fine. I mean, the thing is, she don't want to be sick and then also starting to rebuild a life. You know, she probably like, okay, this, I have the life that I have right now. I have an illness, but this would make it exponentially harder. So I think she's like, let's just stick it out, see what happens. But again, I think it's kind of tired. I think we've seen it before. I don't think we need, you know, to see more wives, like basically in like loveless marriages trying to make a way just because it's convenient. Like, you know, I'm sure it happens all the time, but also you can get tired of seeing the same storyline.
Okay. We have like a big showdown. Okay. At the tent city where Angela has really, you know, she has her people and then the police are on the other side. It's Bobby who then gives a riveting speech.
Mm-hmm.
Wins everybody over.
It took a minute. He starts off like, okay, y'all, I'll give you 3 months rent. Woo! And they're like, and then what? He's like, huh? Yeah. What happens after 3 months? I guess you're homeless then. Boo! Boo! Bobby Novak! Boo! This guy stinks. And he's like, okay. If you vote for me, they're like, boo, boo, boo. And so eventually he's like, all right, you shouldn't trust me. And they're like, go on. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I suck. I'm a politician. I do things. I politic. And, you know, I do not look out for the best, like for y'all's best interest. But y'all cannot be out here. So do me a solid. Go home or wherever. And we'll work. We'll take my offer of this housing situation. And then if I don't get you a livable public housing need met by the end of whatever, vote me out. I won't be the mayor anymore. You can move on. But I'm not going to sit here and try to keep lying and pandering for your votes because obviously y'all don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a very honest
thing. When's the election?
Angela, it doesn't say like 6 months from now or something like that. It's like coming up, but it's not like super close.
Okay.
So he has time to make this happen. It's unrealistic, but it's the best they could do. Cause Angela's like, we're not settling for a few months because we will all be homeless. And he's like, okay, well, what if I try really hard to make sure you're not homeless? They're like, okay, that's the best we can do. So they're going to hold him accountable. Next season, we'll see if Bobby Novak's able to keep his seat in the mayor's office or if he's not.
Well, I think that this scandal is going to come down, right? At some point, it's got to come out that he's being investigated, right?
Uh-huh. Which is wild, too, because it's like Bobby Novak's getting investigated by the FBI. Let's say they find out. Let's say they get Bobby Novak caught up. They won't because Jessica's in charge, right? She's the fixer, so she's going to fix it and make sure that doesn't happen. But if they did, he can't keep these promises that he's making. So not only will he be in jail for whatever crimes the FBI is trying to get him on, but those people who are at Tent City will be back at Tent City. They will be homeless again. This can only last so long with the way Bobby's been moving. But this is not a shock to me because he's been playing a dirty, dirty game. I mean, I can't think of one thing that's going right in Bobby's life right now.
Okay. So should we talk about this big ending, which was actually teased in the opening? This was interesting, right? We kind of got, like, they showed us, like, the last scene of the series, really, to open the series.
Yeah. I felt like this was flashbacky. Mm-hmm. Didn't it feel flashbacky? Like, I think we've worked up to this, right? We spent the entire series trying to get to the last scene. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of happy about that because I was wondering why they had this awful filter. Now, I don't think they're going to change it now that they've met present day. But at the same time, it was a cool journey to get, oh, that's why Jessica's meeting the mayor under the bridge in this like dark location. She looks like she's in danger. But in reality, the mayor's coming to her for help because the FBI is surveilling both of them. Yeah. And Nick is ready to go to jail for him, but that's not going to be enough to keep the FBI off his back.
Boy, FBI really working hard on this cold case of Tommy Deal.
There must be more to it, right? Mm-hmm. I think maybe because like a big name politician is the one tied to it. You know, it's like the Tommy Deal murder on the surface level. It's like, yeah, it's a murder. It's a bad thing. It's awful. But it's like, if we can get a big fish too, you know, if we can mm-hmm. shut down some of the corruption in Chicago, you know, we're better to start than the mayor's office. And so I think that's probably what they were leaning toward.
Yeah. All right. Are we in speculation territory now?
Sure. Let's speculate.
What would have happened here?
So again, I think Jessica is going to fix the Bobby situation, but he will be punished. He probably won't go to jail for killing Tommy Deal. We'll find out that Tommy Deal started the fight or something like that. It was self-defense, you know, something weird like that. Mm-hmm. Nick shot him. But then Jessica's going to definitely make him step down. Like, he's not going to keep that position for long. He has to resign.
Who becomes the new mayor?
I'm telling you, that Angela Marispot was looking really good. Carlos Salazar's name still floating around as well.
He was just in one episode, though.
Yeah, but they've been talking about him all season. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, and then, and Jessica just gave the alderman spot that she was going to give him to Angela.
Yeah.
So now he probably has,
That's kind of messed up.
It's definitely messed up. She tried to get Carlos Salazar off his back by giving him a spot and then gave the spot away. So he's still out there floating around unemployed and probably looking for a job. So I can see him trying to be mayor. Maybe Stephanie Novak might step into the role. Oh. I've alluded to a couple other shows in this podcast already where, you know, sometimes the wife ends up in charge, you know, based off of whatever's going on. So it could happen.
Yeah. Do you think that Bobby is going to take the fall for this murder instead of Nick?
No. I don't know what Nick is going to end up doing, but Bobby's not going to sacrifice himself.
Because Nick was a series regular and Bobby was not.
Oh, so maybe this was going to be the end of Bobby. He like resigns and disappears. And then Nick is still in hell because he's still guilt, you know, he's still guilt ridden. So they spend the next few like the next few weeks or seasons or whatever, like really dealing with the fact that he still wants to atone for his sins. But, you know, Bobby's left him high and dry. He has nothing else to turn to. He's basically Jessica's bodyguard at that point. Mm-hmm. I think we could write this series. Again, it's starting to sound like a lot of series that I've already seen. So maybe that's not fair to those shows. But I think there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is anybody else going to jail? Jeff Malone?
Jeff Malone's not going to jail. Pat McGann could go to jail. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Obviously, he's in on a lot of stuff. Maybe conspiracy to commit murder or something like that. Because remember, his conversation with Bobby and Nick's dad was, hey, send your no good son over there to shut him up. And so he essentially is the reason why Nick got sent over there to deal with Tommy Deal. So maybe Pat McGann goes down as well.
Okay. Any other storylines you feel like you need to know how they're going to be resolved in Pearson?
Is there any world where any of those storylines end up in L.A.? Like, you know, like we don't know right now what the plot of Suits LA is going to be. We know that it's supposed to be tonally similar and we know some of the cast members, but who's to say Derek doesn't get a job in LA or Yoli? Maybe they go in LA together and they're like a thing.
Maybe, I could see Jessica being in Suits LA and mentioning like, oh, like Bobby Novick is retired from politics now, or maybe could Bobby Novak be running for president in 2024 in the Suits universe?
No.
I got to be honest. I'd probably vote for him.
For Bobby Novak?
Yeah.
Who's the competition?
Well, it's 2024.
I mean, I'm not voting for Bobby Novak. I ain't voting for Bobby Novak. That ain't happening. Just look, based on how I've seen how Bobby Novak was acting toward the people in Tent City in this episode, I know better. I know better. The man has shown me his true colors. But I don't know. I honestly think I honestly think that the creators and Aaron Korish and the writers, I think they're going to leave Pearson in a little box. And they're going to throw that box into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And Jacques Cousteau is not going to be able to find that little box. They're not going to talk about it. Like, they're not going to discuss what happened to Pearson. It's not canon. Yeah.
I think that if you do see Jessica Pearson in Suits LA, she'll say like, oh, I've moved from Chicago. That's
it. I don't
it.
Think they're going to, do you think they're going to try to add her in as a regular?
If these things like get popular, I do feel like that it seems like the principals, minus mm-hmm. Meghan Markle, like they seem like that they're like hovering.
I would argue that even Meghan Markle might be a little tempted to join the cast of Suits LA. Mm-hmm. You know, like one, what else is she doing? You know, it's not like she's royalty right now. She's kind of chilling. Last time I checked, wasn't she chilling in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that where they live? They moved to they abdicated the throne. Is that what they call it?
And they live in Toronto, York.
I thought they moved to Canada. Look, let's not make this a podcast about the royals, but mm-hmm. she's already over there. If they're gonna be in Vancouver, then I feel like she ain't far. Mm-hmm. You have to have a lot of security on set, but I think aside from that, mm-hmm. she could pop up every now and then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we'd be open to any of that.
I think so too. I think what I really want is I want Suits LA to be its own show. I don't want it to be Harvey and Mike doing Harvey and Mike things all the time because we already did that. If you wanted to do that, you should have just kept Suits going 15, 17 seasons in, 18, 20, 25 seasons in. But to make it Suits LA and then give us the same exact show, I don't want it. So give us new mm-hmm. characters with yeah. a similar tone, but with their own personalities. I don't have to hear like, you know, I need you to follow those briefs. And by briefs, I mean this. And by this, I mean, we don't have to do that again. We already did that. It was nice. It was fun, but it also ran its course. And so, yeah, bringing in Jessica, Lewis, Donna, Mike, Harvey, they're all interested. It seems they're on commercials. They're everywhere talking about Suits. They're the face of this franchise right now.
Yeah.
But they already had their chance. Give us the movie if that's what you want to do.
Stephen Amell, this was from an article published one day ago, says that there's a lot of dialogue in the Suits LA script that he revealed in an interview with Deadline that the Suits mm-hmm. LA pilot has more words per page than he has ever said in his entire career by a factor of five.
Damn.
Great dialogue.
How many have you ever watched any shows with Stephen Amell as the lead? I watched Arrow.
Yeah.
And Arrow, he was very much a Batman type. No, like if you're not familiar with the Green Arrow, it's very similar to Bruce Wayne, like a rich young rich guy, kind of has like a hobby of fighting crime in mm-hmm. the meantime. So he's like the strong silent type. He talks a little bit, but not that much. And so I'm not shocked to hear that this is probably the most dialogue he's had to do in a while.
Okay.
But I saw in our Facebook group that, you know, the people don't really love.
They don't love him,
Stephen. They don't love.
Maybe this will be the role that will turn them around. Okay. All right.
So.
Who gets the gritty today?
It's got to be Jessica.
Yes.
She did it. She did it.
Thank you to our senior partner, Patty, who mm-hmm. sent in the spreadsheet of all of the gritties. So 10 to 0 to 0 to 0 to 0 gritties for Jessica.
It's a clean sweep, and it's mm-hmm. the clean sweep we deserve. Jessica, this show was named mm-hmm. for you, after you, and we got to follow your journey outside of New York. And what I learned the most is that, aside from Chicago being an awful, awful place that no one should ever go to, that Jessica's less fun away from her friends. You know, we really missed the Harvey and Mike of it all, because she was very funny in Suits. She was fun. She was a good dresser. You know, we had a lot to say about Jessica. She was also the boss. She was in charge. She was running things. Nobody messed with Jessica. Seeing her kind of trying to pick all of that up from the pick the pieces up from the bottom in Pearson, it was compelling, but also not the Jessica I wanted to see.
Yep.
So it had a good run.
Okay. Also, Patty counted a lot of swear words that she, Patty started tracking the word a-hole, which mm-hmm. was used 7 times over the course of Pearson.
Okay. It's not the damn counter.
Yeah. Well, we do have 29 GDs in this show.
God damn it. Yeah. God yeah. Damn ooh, it. I miss it so much. There were so many.
There were so many. Okay, this episode had the most of the whole season. 30 folders got slammed.
You know, Patty was telling us that now she can't not count the folders that are being slammed mm-hmm. in other shows as well. So now I'm probably going to have to look keep a lookout on those things too.
Yeah.
Because it's something I never think about until I think about Suits. And so, yeah, be on the lookout for slamming folders wherever you're watching your shows.
Yeah. Okay. We get so many nice mentions in our Facebook group. Still active, of course.
Still post active.
Any
still
Suits popping. News there, go to suitspodcast.com/Facebook. We got such a nice message the other day from Sarah, who said, I'm an avid RHAP listener, but Suits Yourself premiered at a time when I really needed the extra content. I had a week-old baby, and without Suits Yourself, I may have needed to turn on another podcast network to fill those long nights. Here we are 7 months later, almost at the end of our journey. And while the baby does not sleep through the night, I'm getting by with the regular amount of RHAP content. I would have never watched Suits without this podcast, and I never will again. But when I see that little square on a streaming service, I'll think of Robin Chappelle and a little baby who kept me up all night. Thanks for the memories, guys. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's great. I like that. That's Rob, that's really why I like podcasting. I like when people tell me, oh, I was listening to you when I did XYZ, and it makes me think about these moments, right? Because I, when I was a podcast listener primarily, that's what I used to do too. I can tell you where I was at when I heard a lot of my favorite podcast episodes. And so when people tell me, yeah, I was going through something, or I was very happy or very sad that day, and I tuned into this and it made me feel good, that means, okay, Chappelle, you're doing something right. So this was a fun adventure, Rob, but daily fun adventure. It was
a ride.
It was a ride. Yeah. And I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah. We heard from so many people that we were with them in their mornings, on their walks, on their drives, and they really loved the daily format.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, we cannot go back to the daily format because, well, we won't have all the episodes dropped at one time like we had this time. It was a fun exercise. And I think if there's ever a world where you want to do something like that again, hopefully I'm the guy you turn to.
Yes. I wouldn't have wanted to do it with anybody else.
Thanks.
Chappelle, anything else about the world of Suits?
No, nothing else. I mean, like I said, we're just waiting.
I'm still Lewis. Tweeting.
I miss Lewis. Even when we got Lewis this time, it felt like a tease. You know, I missed the Lewis story arc. You know, Lewis coming, like the Lewis that we got, the Lewis that we started to get, the downs, the ups, the villain Lewis. You know, Lewis, we hated Lewis. We love Lewis. We love to hate Lewis. And then by the end, couldn't live without Lewis. So yeah, I love that. Miss Donna. Donna was always fun.
She was awesome.
It was always fun. Yeah, she was always fun. Gretchen, even our villains over there on Suits. Daniel Hartman, still.
Did you miss Charles Forsman? Top five Robin
impersonation. Mm-hmm. No, I don't miss Charles Forsman at all. He's not one of my faves. Mm-hmm. But Lord Varys was over there. Mm-hmm. Catelyn Stark. You know, we had a lot
going
on. There
were no fun villains on Pearson also.
No.
Like,
no.
Bobby Novak is not fun.
Right, Bobby Novak's not fun.
Yeah.
Nobody's fun. There's no fun in Chicago.
There's no fun in Pearson. Okay.
Right.
All right. You know where there is a lot of fun?
Where?
RecapKickback.com.
Yes. We're having a blast on RecapKickback.com. So this week, we wrapped up our bracket, our Black TV sitcom / television show theme song bracket. That should be in your podcast feed and on YouTube very soon, if not already by the time you're hearing this. But yeah, check it out on recapkickback.com and then tune in, subscribe. We just reached 600 followers and subscribers on YouTube. Yeah. The YouTube people, they sent me an email that said, you know, you have 5,000 views. I was like, what? So that's great. But we need more. We need more views and more hours and more subscribers and stuff like that. We want people to find it. And then I want more feedback about what I should be talking about on Recap Kickback, because I don't have a daily podcast co-host like I did for Suits Podcast.com for Suit Yourself. So I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. Tell me what you want me to talk about, and I'll see if I can find somebody to talk about it with me. But Rob, thank you so much for letting me do this with you. This has been a blast.
It was a wild ride from where we started on August 22nd, I think it was, of 2023. Look at us now.
Yeah, we've done so much. I think I'm a better podcaster getting the podcast with you so much. I got my reps in every day.
Yeah, well, I don't think you needed them, but it was, I'm a better podcaster from being on here with you for 145 episodes.
Oh man, I'm glad we're not doing this on video because you're making me blush. You're turning blurple. It's not my fave.
All right. Thank you so much. If you've enjoyed this ride, of course, we appreciate it if you would leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. We make it very easy for you to do on suitspodcast.com. So maybe some other folks might come along and go on the journey that you just went on. That's at suitspodcast.com. Until we get to LA, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.